talking about your grandkids because we know that they're perfect, okay? But as far as your children go, we have lots of things to talk to you about with them, and we would like some input. So after the service, we'll be down here, and you come talk to us. No, I'm just kidding. We're extremely glad to have you today. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to get to share a passage with you this morning. We've actually been working through the book Sermon on the Mount for quite some time, and as we've been doing that, God has been really speaking to the hearts of the people of 24 Church, and has continued to do so in pretty amazing ways. And so this morning, I'm actually going to continue teaching through Sermon on the Mount, and felt that, Nathan made mention of it. I really hadn't even thought about it. Made mention that, you know, it's really the passage that we were coming to is really an appropriate passage, I think, for moms and for all of us in general. And I know, and I'm aware, and I think about this fact. I talked to staff about this week. I know that Mother's Day is not always a positive day for a lot of people because of things that have happened, maybe in your past or whatever. And I just want you to know that we love you and we care for you, and we don't want you to feel left out today. If you are in that boat, we want to walk with you. And we want to love you, and we want to minister to you. We want you to know that we care, and that's on our radar. And I know that we have so many people going through so many different things, and that is not off of our minds or off of our hearts. And I just want you to know that. If you've got a Bible today, get it out. As we celebrate mothers today, all that good stuff, we're gonna do so by looking at this passage together in the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, you can throw your hand up. Maybe you just left it at home. Or you don't own one. We want to give you one. Let our ushers give you one. They'll walk the aisle here and let them hand you one. We would love for you to have one and be able to follow along with us. If you don't own one, you can have that one. That's a gift to you, and you can keep it. And we would love for God to speak to your heart through His Word in doing so. But Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going today. And I don't know about you. I have one mom that lives in my house. We have five children. We have five little girls, if you didn't know that. In fact, our oldest turned 9 this week, and that just seems unreal to me. And I don't know, you parents can testify to how the time flies and all that good stuff. But I watched my wife do. She is the Wonder Woman of my life. I don't know how she does what she does. She is amazing to me, my hat is off to her. And this morning, in thinking about this passage of Scripture, this passage that we're going to be studying on, we've just been going through the passage, and it's one of the things that we like to do at 24 is teach through Scripture at times, where instead of us kind of selecting what's coming, it's just what's next for us kind of a thing. And with this particular passage of Scripture, we've been talking through Sermon on the Mount, which is this amazing passage where we see Jesus teaching. And this is like one of these first huge teachings that Jesus does with a large crowd around. And of course, it's you know, pretty famous at this point in time for us. But as we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, we're midway at this midway point, so to speak. Jesus has been talking to people's hearts. And I think that's very important for us to understand as we see what he's been talking about. And if you can go back, in fact, there's podcasts and all that if you want to go listen to it. But if you go back and you look at the passages before this, you see Jesus talking about things like fasting, to which, you know, a lot of us are like, man, I didn't have anything to do with me. I don't fast. I don't even know what that's about. You know, I just hear it's, you know, why would I want to not eat, you know, when there's so much amazing Mexican food out there, right? I mean, that's the way I feel. Actually, I feel that way about hot chicken. Equally about that and Mexican food, but anyway, we have this preconceived notion about things like that don't really apply to us. But the truth is it's God's word; it does apply to us. And as we're teaching through this, we've been learning like this fasting piece. We've been learning this piece that we taught on last week, which was about our treasure and where is our treasure, and what are we making our treasure, and our heart is where our treasure is, and we can't, you know, serve both God and money and all these things. I mean, some stuff, it really kind of starts hitting close to home. We're kind of like, hey, whoa, wait now. I don't need anybody telling me what to do or anything. But the truth is we do need Jesus to tell us what to do. Because on our own, we're going to jack it up every time, okay? And so as we're looking through this, I think it's important for us to realize, I mentioned this last week, that as Jesus is concerned, you know, this is like one big thing that he's teaching through. And so he's been teaching about the fasting thing. He's been teaching about some of the money stuff. And really what he's getting at is he's getting at our hearts. And so this morning I ask you this question, where is your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart, Mom? Where's your heart, Dad? Where's your heart, son, daughter, you know, friend? Whatever. Yeah, I think for us to ask that question is very important to ourselves. And we go, well, it's Mother's Day, man. My heart's, you know, it's in a good place, or my heart's not in a good place, or whatever. You know, I think it's important for us to recognize that what Jesus is talking about as he's talking through these things is he's trying to help us to check our hearts. And the importance in us checking our hearts is such a big deal in this particular situation. As we look at this passage today, this is a continuation of Jesus wanting us to check our hearts. We love crying babies. It's okay. Right? Jesus wants us to check our hearts. And that's what he's talking about. In fact, to the point that as he finishes the passage that we talked about last week, as he finishes talking about you can't serve both God and money, and I'm worried about you falling into this thing of like you making too much of treasures on earth and so on and so forth. Again, his concern was for our hearts, that he comes around to the passage that we're reading today, which is this Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And you know what it's about? It's about not being anxious. Now, I know that there is not a woman in this room that has ever been anxious in her life, right? It's time for a confession. Are we ready? Okay? We're going to do this. We're going to have a time of confession. Just by the lifting of your hand, how many of you have been worried about something today, this morning? Just be honest, okay? Bunch of liar sinners. God is coming for you, right? Messing with you. Look, here's the deal. We all struggle with this. It doesn't matter if you're a mom. It doesn't matter if whatever. It doesn't matter. We all struggle with this. We all find ourselves worrying about things. And Jesus is so concerned about our hearts that as he finishes talking about money, as he finishes talking about this other stuff, he comes back around to this and he's like, hey, check it out. Don't be anxious. Let's read it. Matthew 6, verse 25. It says this. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? I mean, Jesus is just like, I'm going to cover the gamut right here. I'm going to level the playing field. Do not be anxious about. And it's not like he's saying, don't be anxious about, you know, that thing that you've got going on. No, he goes, don't be anxious about your life. And he says, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, I love this, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, this is an amazing passage, and man, we need this passage. You know, just like every other passage in Scripture, we need this passage. We need to be reminded of this. Some of you are sitting here today, and if we had a real confession time today, and you were just being legit, and you were just like, hey, this is what's really going on in my life, you would probably be able to just say, you know what, I'm so worried right now. I've been worried all week. I've been worried for a month. I've been worried for a year. And here's why. And you've got these reasons, and there are reasons that are causing strife in your life. But at the end of the day, Jesus is saying, you know what? We don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious. He starts giving out reasons of why we don't need to be anxious. As we just go back to the top here, and it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. He starts talking about very specific things. Jesus knows what's up. He's Jesus, okay? He's got a clue. He knows the things, he knew the things and knows the things that would cripple us if we let them do so. That's why he talked about money in the passage before this. That's why he talked about, you know, seeking him first and the whole fasting deal. Again, it was a heart issue. It's all heart issue of like, seek me. Quit putting all your stuff into things of this world. And the truth is not only are we guilty of doing things like putting all of our money and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, all of the investing that we do, investing into this world instead of investing into the kingdom, we're also guilty of investing all of our emotion into things like worrying, right? And some of us, we just go, you know, hey, most days I'm not a big worrier, but you know what? Some days, yeah, I have a bad day. And I'm worrying, and I've got my list of things to worry for. Jesus doesn't want you to do that. And it's not like a Jesus slapping you on the hand, he doesn't want you to do that. It's a Jesus loves you, and he doesn't want you to be pained with anxiety. He doesn't want you to be pained with it. It's not something that he wants you to be pained. This is a little different. I want you to understand this. This is a little different than like people that might say, well, Jesus doesn't want you to suffer. Well, no, that's not biblical. Jesus does at times want us to suffer. I know, you're very encouraging on Mother's Day for you, right? Some of your mothers are like, yes, I know, right? You know, but the truth is like we know that suffering is a part. It's a part of our life. It's a part of this world. And it's a part of what even God shows us will be what leads us to sanctification, what makes us more like Christ. But even in the suffering, you take that and you put it with this. And what Jesus is saying, you can suffer, but you don't have to worry. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to suffer and not worry? Did you know that you could do that? Did you know that Jesus has given you permission to do that? He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And he goes into these illustrations. And you see like the birds of the air, you know, doesn't he take care of the birds of the air? Doesn't he take care of the lilies of the field? You know, doesn't he take care of the grass? He's going to clothe the grass with these lilies and all this kind of stuff. He uses these illustrations. And basically what he's saying, he's like, hey, don't you think that God loves you? But see, therein lies a small issue for some people, maybe a large issue for some people. There's a lot of folks who don't really think that God loves them. Folks, let me tell you something. If there's anything that I could tell you today that you need to walk out of here believing wholeheartedly in your heart, is that God loves you. So much so that he gave his son for you to die for you. I wouldn't give you one of my kids. I wouldn't give you one of my kids for a week. You know? Well, I mean, there's days that I would, you know, but realized after I said it. You know how that sounded, right? And you're like, man, I give you my kids right now. People's going to be coming up after church and be like, here's my kids. You take my kids for a week. You can have them, right? But God made this huge sacrifice for us. And basically, he chose like the biggest thing that he could come up with for us to recognize how deep his love is for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ would die for us. I mean, this is a huge, huge thing. And so Jesus, and I'm not going to go back through all of it, but Jesus uses these illustrations with like the birds of the air and the grass of the field. And he's like, look, don't you see that God cares and takes care of those things? Don't you think that God loves you even more? We don't see that Jesus came and died for the birds of the air. God bless them, you know. My 6-year-old London, she loves birds. I'm talking about like in some kind of crazy, weird way loves birds, okay? I mean, and we've got 2 grills on our back deck. We are official Cheatham County with these 2 grills on the back of our deck. Deck's about to fall down, by the way. Like we don't let the kids go out there and play on it anymore kind of thing, you know. And here's these 2 grills that, you know what, we can't grill in. Partially because they're broken, but partially because they both have birds' nests in them. And we've got baby birds in both of these grills right now. Well, this is like London's dream come true. The only way that this gets better is that if it were to be in her specific line of specialty of birds. Because she has a specialty when it comes to birds. She reads books and things, and her deal, believe it or not, 6 years old. And it's been this way probably since she was 4 or 5. Her deal, birds of prey. That's my London, man. She's probably going to grow up to be like a sniper in the army or something. I'm not real sure what she's going to do, but it's going to be pretty awesome, whatever it is. God loves us even more than the birds of the air. But Jesus gets to a point here, and I think that it's very important for us to see it. And it helps us to see something about our heart. And you see it, I'll start in verse 30. It says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And what's he say? O you of little faith. Little faith. You see, and we're going to leave that up there because this is key, folks. This is key for us. This is our struggle. Our struggle is not that we don't have any faith. It's that we have little faith. Our faith is small. Our faith is small. If our faith isn't large enough to believe that God really is who he says he is and can do what he can really do, then what happens is we begin to doubt. You know what that is? That's unbelief. Unbelief. We fall into a trap of unbelief. And you go, well, I'm a believer. No, wait a second, Chris. I'm not. I don't have problems with unbelief. Well, listen. If your faith isn't big enough to carry you through things without worrying and being anxious, then yes, you do. And the truth is that we all struggle with this. And we don't look at it this way normally. We're not usually thinking like, you know, oh, well, I'm doubting God on this one. I'm just going to doubt him today. Right now, I'm just telling you, this is not going to end well. That's not what we do. That's not how we think about it. It creeps in on us. And then what happens is we don't realize that our faith has gotten smaller. And our worry and our anxiousness is actually from the fact that we're not trusting in God. Because we have little faith. Jesus follows that in verse 31. He says this, says, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? It says, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let me stop on that for just a second. There's a promise thrown in here. I don't know if you saw it or not. First of all, it's prefaced with, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So, if God knows that we need them all, and He loves us, and He's the creator of the universe, and He was able to speak planets and solar systems and galaxies into existence. Getting a little Star Wars on you right there. If He was able to do that, and yet He loves us more than all of those things, why in the world should we worry? Sent His Son to save us. Has given us His word. Has made promises to us, just like this one, that says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What's He saying? He's saying, trust in the Lord. He already knows what you need. Trust in the Lord. He will take care of you. Quit worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. He's got this. He's got this on a level that we're not even playing on. And that's the trouble for us. That's the trouble for us, is that we have a hard time comprehending and seeing it. I see at times in my life what little faith does to people. I've seen little faith get the better of moms and dads. I've seen little faith get the better of baseball teams. I've seen little faith cause a sports team to beat themselves. You ever seen that? I have. Our faith is so important to us. You know, and if we're not careful, we trade faith for this, like, belief in ourselves of, like, we can do it kind of thing. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do through us. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What an awesome promise. And in verse 34, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Man, that's a good word. Maybe you need to write that down and tape it to a mirror or something. Something that can encourage you and should encourage you is that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious. Not only do we not have to be, God doesn't want us to be. He just wants us to trust in Him wholeheartedly. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. That does not say that we won't have anxiety, but when we do, what we should do with it. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. It says, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Man, how huge is that? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. You know what that means? That means at the stuff that we're not the specialist of, that we're not like, we know exactly what to do, but in the things where we are weak, He is strong. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Got one more little passage I want to share with you, and it's this. Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Please take note of what that's saying right there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That passage in Philippians 4, that passage is an amazing passage. And it helps us to see clearly a couple of things that I want you to be able to take with you today. The first thing is, what do you do with it? What do you do with the anxiety? What do you do with the worry? It's easy for Chris to stand up there and go, well, he just tells us all not to worry. Well, he's not walking in my shoes. I hear you. I get it. Life's hard. Things don't always go as we plan. In fact, most of the time, things don't go as we plan, right? That drives people like Ann Saylor crazy. Did you know that? She's a planner, right? You got the whole week planned out, don't you? Yeah. Dan's like, yeah, yeah. Dan's like, she's got my life planned out. Thank you. But life doesn't always work out like we think. And sometimes it's hard. But His grace is sufficient in us. And here's what we can do. It tells us, Paul tells us in the book of Philippians right there, what to do with the anxiety. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, here it is. This is what we do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's that say? Talk to God. Spend time with God. Is it not true? I don't know about it is if it's true for you or not, the way it is for me, but when I spend time with the Lord, He gives a peace to my heart that I don't get any other way. He gives me peace. Isn't that what we want? We want peace. And oddly enough, it talks about that. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, a.k.a. we can't understand it. We can't understand how God could give us peace in the middle of a storm of our life where everybody else is looking at us and going, you should be pretty worried right now. And instead, we're able to go, you know what, it's okay. God's got this. I trust in Him. I have faith in Him. I've been talking with Him. I've been taking this to Him. I know that He loves me more than He loves birds and grass. Right? And because of that, I know that He's got this because He knows what I need. I don't have to worry about it anymore. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Man, we need that. We so desperately need that. I don't know, you know, what's going on in your life today, but let me give you a little piece of advice. God loves you, and if you don't know Him, He wants to save you. That's the most important thing that you'll find in this life. That's the most important thing. Fame, money, anything else is way, way down the list from understanding that God loves you and He wants to save you. And maybe you're here today because your mama wanted you to come. Good for you, mama. Come on. And good for you, kid, for showing up. Because let me tell you something. Maybe God brought you here today so that on this day that you would trust in Him in a way that you've never trusted in Him before. That you could believe in Him to care for you and love you more than birds and grass and everything else that He's ever made. So much so that He would send His Son, Jesus, to die for you. I was reminded this week of how huge a sacrifice that was. We have a family in our church, Tony and Danielle Crick, and they have a little baby boy that was just born this past week. His name is Maddox. And he's a chunky little thing. And he'll be bigger than Tony, for sure. I love Tony. But there have been some complications. Little infant baby boy. And he's had complications. And come middle of the week, they decided that they were going to have to do surgery, cut him open, and work on his intestines. Pretty major deal. Surgery lasted all day. I don't know about you. I mean, we've got a little baby girl right now. I mean, even if it was my 9-year-old, I can't imagine, you know, not sitting, not being anxious, waiting all day for my child to be in surgery. I got to see, by the way, the surgery went fantastic. A lot of people were praying, I believe in all my heart, that God did some amazing things there. It was believed that he had a disease that they decided by the time they got into surgery, he does not have that disease. He's going to be okay. He's got some recovery time, so on and so forth. But I went up to the hospital on Thursday, and I'm standing there in the NICU with Tony, and we're wearing all the garb and everything, and we're standing there by his baby boy. And I prayed with Tony, and it didn't hit me until I was praying with Tony that while we're standing by his baby boy, who's laying in this thing with the lights on him and all that kind of stuff, he's got tubes coming out of him because they're doing everything they can to make sure that he will live. And then Tony and I prayed together. And as I prayed and I thanked God for Jesus, it dawned on me. We'll do anything we can, anything, to keep our child alive. Anything. Tubes, surgeries, hospital bills, sleepless nights. And God took his son and he gave him to us. And he said, tell you what, you kill him, and through his blood, I will forgive you of your sin. You see what God did? He did the ultimate thing to get our attention, to see how much he cares. We miss it sometimes because we've heard it before or whatever it is. But it's huge. The cross is huge. An empty tomb is huge. Because Jesus didn't only die, but he defeated death. And he defeated death that we might have life. You can trust in him today. Would love to talk with you about that if you need somebody to talk to about it. We'll be down here after the service. I'm praying today that you will trust in the Lord. I'm praying today that I'll trust in the Lord. I'm praying that today that I won't be anxious, that I won't worry. I'm praying today that we collectively, as a body of believers, as 24 Church, as a church body, that we collectively would not be a group of people that would be worried, but that we would be a group of people who trust in the Lord. We can trust in the Lord. Pray that God will give you big faith. Seek his word and be reminded of how sufficient his grace really is. Let's pray together.